Okay, what is mission? It's one of those words that means different things in different ages. To some, it is bound up with colonialism and the spread of the empire. To others, it is all about big stadium events with Billy Graham or similar. In the New Testament, we see traveling missionaries going from city to city like Paul and Barnabas. But what is mission today? In this short series, we're looking at the five marks of mission. And today we come to the third. And we're using them to help us as a church to think through what it means to be a mission-minded church today. So what were the previous two? Who can remember what the first one was? I think it was Elizabeth who talked about it. Tell. Yep. So we had tell. Share the good news of Jesus Christ. And what about the second one? Can anyone remember the second one? That was last week with Richard. Teach. Caroline, she can remember. She's probably got the next one. I don't know. So we teach. And so today, the third one, the mark of the mission is to respond to human need in loving service. And the T word is tend, if you've noticed they're all T's. So that's what we're going to look at today. As a reminder for the next 2 weeks, so you can remember when you get there, we're going to have transform and we're going to have treasure. Yeah. How do we tend for people? Tend, that means care for people. How do we tend for those around us? How is that a mark of our of mission? Now, when I was a young Christian, people talked about something called the social gospel, which, at least in the churches that I was part of at the time, was considered beyond the pale, not taking the truth of God to the world. It was not because those people didn't care about the people around them, because they did. And they did what they were able to, but because they thought that the gospel was about salvation, forgiveness, and rescuing people from the eternal consequences of sin. And while they saw that this phrase, the social gospel, was implying that all that mattered was helping people in their lives today and not pointing them to the eternal realities of the need to repent and turn to Christ. Clearly, this is a false dichotomy. It's a false split. If we look at Jesus, he dealt with people in their need where they were, but he also pointed to them to the eternal consequences of their action. Now, this cartoon, from a book that I have on my shelves, a book on evangelism published in the late 70s, shows that even then that split of understanding was being challenged and broken down. And we see an example of those changes in evangelical thinking from the time when in the late 60s, the Evangelical Alliance set up a relief fund, and they formed it to seek to marry Christian compassion and practical action together around the world, bringing together caring for people's physical and spiritual needs. This approach captured the interest and support of evangelical Christians who wanted to put the gospel together with compassion and development. And that, as you may guess, is now called TEAR Fund, the Evangelical Alliance Relief Fund. And it is one of our mission partners even today. Now, when we look at this mark of mission, to respond to human need in loving service, there are two parts to it. Firstly, there is understanding what human need is, and secondly is how we respond in loving service. So we'll look at them in those two sections. But first of all, what is human need? We will look at our first passage from Jeremiah to get some framework and some lessons on human need. The reading we had was a short extract from a letter that Jeremiah wrote to the people of Judah who had been taken into exile by the Babylonians in about 597 BC. Jeremiah is writing to the exiles, telling them that they will be in exile. They will stay in Babylon for 70 years, and he is giving them advice on how they should act. Notice he tells them to build houses, to plant gardens, to eat the produce of the gardens, to have families, and be part of the peace and prosperity of the environment that they are in. Those four things are at the very heart and the very core of human experience. People need to have shelter and security, housing. They need to have work and they need to have food. They need community, relations, love and families. And they need identity, seeking the peace and prosperity of the place that they live in. Even those who have ever looked at sociology and human needs will see a link with this wisdom from Jeremiah, with models of need in modern sociology. There are various models. The most well-known, at least in my experience in a work environment, is Maslow's hierarchy of human needs. This is now considered a little bit old-fashioned, and there is also another model called the Max Neff model, fundamental human needs and human scale development. Let's look at these briefly. Maslow postulated a hierarchy with five levels, you can see them on the screen, of need: physiological, security, love and belonging, esteem and self-actualization. His view was that one needs to progress up this hierarchy so that it was needs of self-esteem, such as respect, status and freedom, were not relevant if one didn't have the physiological needs such as food, water and shelter. And it is that assumptions of hierarchy that is what makes it a bit outdated today. It doesn't take much experience of the world, especially the non-Western world, to see that this is not strictly true. Many people get by on much less of the physical and security needs and situations than many in the West, but they have much higher levels of family, community and self-esteem, and everyone in the world has the desire to make the most of their lives. So while we have that model, and it's very useful, as I say, the real sort of assumptions of hierarchy means that people generally reject it now, and we now see a more recent model from Manfred Max Neff, a Chilean sociologist, who sees nine areas of human need, which you probably can't read on the screen anymore. I did try and make it bigger, but not succeeded. So you see subsistence there. That's the sort of human need in terms of shelter and things. Protection, affection, understanding, participation, leisure, creation, identity, and freedom. But there's no hierarchy. Those are nine sort of areas of need that people see, and people need those. So looking at these two models and the example from the Bible, we see that there is a whole range of human need. And as we meet people, a mark of being a Christian, and so of mission, is about having compassion and walking alongside those in need. And as we see their need, and that is more than just seeing that, we see their need and it's seeing them more than just souls in need of salvation, but as human beings who have a need to be the person that God wants them to be and to live their life to the full, both now and in the future. And that's where mission comes in. There are many aspects of human need that we might want to respond to in loving service. Realistically, an individual church cannot do everything, so there needs to be some sort of filtering, some sort of selecting based on the needs of our area, the resources we have, and the passions and desires that we have from the Holy Spirit, so that we respond to the needs of our community and those we come into contact with. So we now look at our second part of our Mark Commission. It's about how do we respond in loving service. And we're going to do that by looking at our passage from Mark chapter 10 and see that as a framework for service. The context here, as Chris reminded us as he read it, is the aftermath of the request from John and James to sit at Jesus' right hand and left hand in his glory. They were desiring power and status. But Jesus explains to them and to the other disciples that that is not how things are in the kingdom of God. Jesus did not come to be served. Unlike most rulers who expect to be served, the Son of Man came to serve. The order in the kingdom is reversed. Jesus comes to serve, then so must his followers. It is not about sitting in the place of honor, but about being great in the kingdom is about being the lowest, being a slave, serving others. James and John had misunderstood this and demonstrate the incongruity of servants of the servant king wanting greatness. They were far from understanding what it means to be a follower of Jesus. What about us? Do we understand that? Jesus tells them the Son of Man came to serve and give his life a ransom for many. This is the model which we need to learn from. The disciples didn't really understand that at that point, but they understood more so when Jesus had died and risen again and the Holy Spirit had come on them. Though even then, they made mistakes. Just think about Peter withdrawing from Gentiles, as Paul tells us in the book of Galatians. We see that being a disciple means service. Mark then gives us a practical example in the passage we had, where he goes on to tell us the story of Bartimaeus, a blind beggar near Jerusalem. Here he has needs. He calls out to Jesus for mercy. This calling out for mercy could be for a lot of things. It's a general word, mercy. It might be he wanted money. It might be he wanted some sort of attention or some sort of care. Or it might be he wanted healing, which we find out that's what it was. We will look at this as a lesson for how do we serve. Firstly, we see that the crowds rebuke Bartimaeus. They tell him to shut up. Often crowds are keen to isolate and ignore need. We need to learn a lesson about access to support. One aspect of human need is about separation, is about lack of access. The mission of the church is to open access for the weak. Jesus said he had been sent to proclaim freedom for prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, and set the oppressed free. But the crowd ignored and rebuked Bartimaeus. How much, as a church, do we ignore and rebuke those who are on the fringes of society? One of the reasons people join a church, and it's the reason why I ended up in this church as well, is that it is full of people like us. But a mission-minded church needs to ensure access to those who are not like us, to be open to the breadth of society, including those with needs and those who are excluded from society. Much of the problems of the world are rooted in unequal power structures and relationships. Lack of access to services in society are a key problem. As we tend and care for people, we should be conscious of unequal power. It is likely to impact not only on how we care for people, but will lead to a desire to transform society, which creates these unequal power relationships. Well, that's for next week's Mark of Mission. An example in today's society might be seen in, for example, universal credit. The universal credit system, the application is only possible, only allowed online. It's designed by those who, for whom the internet access is absolutely the norm. But many people who need support and universal credit do not have this type of access readily available. How can we help in those areas? Yes, we still do need to take the message of God's love to everybody, to even people like us, but as well as those who are not, we need to look carefully at the different needs in ourselves and for others, so we welcome and as we provide mission and service to all in society. So Jesus has compassion on Bartimaeus and he calls him. He does not make assumptions about what is the need, but asks, "What do you want from me?" So our second lesson from this story is about not making assumptions about other people. It's very easy to make assumptions about what people need. Bartimaeus, it was obvious what he needed. He was blind. He needed to see. Yet Jesus takes the trouble to ask him, "What do you want me to do for you?" We must listen to where people are, where people perceive their needs to be, and seek to serve them, rather than us knowing better and telling them what we think their true need is. People should identify their needs, and as those are met, they may well become aware of deeper needs. That, in a sense, is partly the hierarchy of Maslow, with all its weaknesses, but it does make assumptions from a Western world, because Maslow was an American sociologist, and that was the world he studied. But it is still true that people might eventually see their greater needs and move through them, but they should identify needs and not to be told by us what their needs are. What would Jesus have done if Bartimaeus' response had been to say he wanted food, or he wanted just to follow Jesus, and not that he wanted to see? I'm sure that Jesus would not have ignored his perceived need. And also, I'm pretty sure that Jesus wouldn't have told him that what he really needed was to see, and his faith was weak and he should have more faith in order to be healed. I can't see Jesus having done that. Unfortunately, I've heard of many stories of people being treated badly in this respect, both in person, even some here in this church, and in the media. Stories about people being told that the reason that they are not healed is their lack of faith. Or of people accosting those who see they have a disability and saying they want to pray for them to be healed. That, however good intentioned that is not how to treat people with respect and to serve them. Thirdly, Jesus, having established the Bartimaeus' need, he meets that need by healing him. The man's need was he wanted to see. He was clear on what the need was. It was not just his begging, it was not just care that he needed healing. And Jesus says, your faith has healed you. As a church, as we look round at the needs of our parish and of individuals that we come across, we should be seeking to respond in loving service without making assumptions, but listening and then providing a suitable response of service. This will be different for different people and groups of people, so we need to be flexible and not directive. And finally, the response of Jesus serving Bartimaeus was that Bartimaeus follows Jesus. He follows along the road. He becomes a follower of the way. As we respond to human need, we are looking for a response, and that response ultimately is for people to follow Jesus. Yet our service is still an important mark of mission, even if there is no response. But we do remember that our ultimate desire is not just to meet and alleviate human needs, but we long for others to know Jesus as he meets their needs more fully and makes them the human being that they should be and that we are all created to be. So how do we develop this mark of mission in St. Mark's? Firstly, thinking about access. We have the cafe as a point of access, providing a place where people can come, and people from many places do come, including some referred to it from via social prescribing from local surgery. So people can come, they have access. Those who are lonely, they can come to an environment of friendship and care. Then there is our welcome team who are seeking to provide a welcome to the church. But this one needs care, providing access but not making assumptions about why someone comes to church, but listening carefully and welcoming warmly. Then there are access for different groups, such as older people in our community, through a midweek service or various teas and a pudding club for those who are single. I was looking at some of the census data that's come out recently from last year's census. And actually, if you look at the only data level is at local authority level. So Horsham local authority, if you look at the way the population has developed over time, over the last 10 years, there is a much bigger increase in those who are over, 60 and above. And there's a decrease of those in the next generation down, and there's an increase of the generation below that. So you can see, and we see it in our community, there is a lot more older and more mature people around than perhaps there was 10, 20 years ago. So we see how our area is, and we should be responding to the needs of those people. And then for the future, how will we encourage access to those in the new development as it gets built over the road? And access to what? Is it access to this church building? Or is it an access to an environment that's in the new development? As a church, we will need to work on these things and find the right way forward. And then, after access, it's about assumptions. What assumptions are we making about other people's needs? How do we listen and provide support and service, especially to those with unexpected needs? Maybe this will be important for the new development. We don't know what it will be like to live there. None of us live there yet. But hopefully, as people move in, we will be able to listen to them and understand the needs of living in that new community and be able to serve them, meeting some of those needs. So circling back a bit, we see that serving, we look at the identification of needs and thinking about the Max Nerf model. We should be seeing people as a whole, offering them loving service to the whole person. Whether it's helping them to build their houses, and that's a sort of needs of protection and identity, or plant gardens and eat what they produce, as needs of subsistence and understanding. To have families, so affection, creation, leisure needs. and to seek the peace and prosperity of the locations, our freedom and participation needs. We will not be able to meet all of these needs for all people, but as a community of God's people, this is a framework of service and a mark of our mission. Ultimately, we long for people to know and love Jesus. We do this by caring for the whole person with their needs as Jesus came to serve, so we serve. And remember the St. Mark's mission statement, knowing Jesus, knowing Christ and making him known. As a church, we will need to focus our service on recognizing the limitations of those serving. We should be seeking out where we can support the needs of the community, both inside and outside the church. Paul reminds us in Galatians, as we have an opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. So this is about the whole life of the church, supporting people within the church as well as supporting those outside. Service can be both long-term and short-term. It might be serving in the cafe occasionally. It might mean a lifetime of ministry and service. It takes imagination to identify needs and seek ways to serve as we are prompted by the Holy Spirit. I'm going to finish with an illustration, a story that helps us to see, identify needs and a group of people identify needs and a commitment that they made that resulted in long-term service. In the 1930s, the then Bishop of Chichester was concerned about the growing persecution of Jews in Germany. And in particular, he was aware of a group of Jewish Christians because the Jewish community groups were supporting those who were Jewish, but there was groups of people who had assimilated and perhaps either converted to Christianity or at least just assimilated and were baptized. And they weren't really supported by anyone. And he preached a sermon encouraging the church to respond by sponsoring refugees. And a group of ladies in a church in Worthing decided to respond and see if they could sponsor a child. They formed a committee, as one does or did in those days, raised some money and advertised to try to find a link. They were wanting a little girl from Jewish background who'd been baptized. In the end, they found a boy from the same background. So in January 1939, a 12-year-old boy left Berlin and came to Worthing, speaking no English, but was supported by this group of ladies from St. Matthew's Church in Worthing. Ultimately, one of them became his legal guardian, and they cared for him in loving service through his education and as he grew into adulthood. The ladies had responded to a human need, and they had responded in service, and that service was for them a lifetime. It's an example of service that had an impact not just in meeting that human need, because the boy himself became a believer. That loving service led to mission, drawing him to know Christ. And those ladies continued to pray. If you haven't guessed it, that is my father. So how will we as a church and as individuals respond to human need today? And how do we serve? We would tell. We will teach, but we will also tend for people as part of our mission to Jesus. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, help us as we as a church and individuals seek to grow in the mission of this church, knowing Christ and making him known. Lord, help us to develop these marks of mission that we might teach, tell, tend as we make Christ known in our lives. Guide our imaginations to find how we should meet need and respond in service. Help us to be open to your promptings of what focus and opportunities we should build on. And we pray for compassion and for love to energize us in service, that people will know you, Jesus, and find your love in us. Amen.